Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Ah, wonderful. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And of course we got started with our girlfriend Vivian, and she brought us our socially conscious news. Well, for the second week in a row, our COVID numbers were on a decline. Yes, so that was some fantastic news. Okay, now she got to some other stories. Well, she talked about the kid who jumped off the moving bus because of the bullies he was the bullying he was experiencing. Now, you know, it must be some kind of experience when you jump off a moving bus. You know, there had to be some type of trauma to this kid. So, you know, it's dad had to get involved, yes, and see his son being pushed up against a window and somebody, you know, else attacked him. And, you know, I have to say, it is good we didn't hear a secondary story to this, because, you know, when you show dad that video, I tell you, his good dad didn't have, you know, in him what some other dads have in them, because it would have been on and popping. Yep, it sure would have been. Well, on to a different type of news for the little kitties. You know, we do understand that, you know, we've been hearing for a minute that there's been an issue at the border, you know, where these children have been left. And unfortunately, you got five little babies who were left at the border, you know, and Vivian says maybe, you know, there's hopes that they'll be adopted. And one of the little children was so small, they couldn't even walk. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is, you know, we talked about it yesterday, and it's like your thought is, you know, how bad could it be in your country that you would, you know, leave your children at the border hoping, you know, that they're found and that they are, you know, picked up and treated better than the life that they had with you. So that's got to be some kind of, experience there. You know, it's got to be a little heartbreaking. Okay, well, you got New York City who have decided to add six new vaccine sites. So for those of you who want to get that vaccine, they've made it a little easier for you. Okay, so all you got to do is go online and see, you know, which ones, which sites are closer to you, closest to you, and get that vaccine on. Okay, so that was our news for yesterday, pretty much. From Vivian, that was our socially conscious news. That's what I want to say. All right, so we had our women. You know, we only had 1/3 of the women of worship, and we still had a good old time because Lady Tamika was joined by our switch tip professional, Shantice, and we actually had a really good conversation. Well, it was sparked from a bride and groomzilla story, you know, two separate stories, that is. And that's how bad it is that they can carry their own stories these days. Well, we had the bride who allowed her sister to be, you know, ridiculed and criticized about the way she looked after she decided to, you know, spend her money and be in this wedding. And she didn't cover her sister. No, the sister said the worst thing about it was that, the sister didn't take up for her. Well, we got a groomzilla who is also accused of mistreating his brother. Yep. Well, the brother, you know, he wanted the brother to be in the wedding. The brother told him from very early that it was Halloween and it was his son's birthday and he was taking him out trick-or-treating and I'll be there, but it'll be a limited time edition. And they did not say okay at the end of the day and just deal with the, you know, the loss of the brother for the second part of the, reception. But instead, they shared this experience with the nephew. Yes, they bought the nephew a birthday cake and cut it at the wedding reception in order to keep the brother there. So, you know, it's just a bit much. Okay? Well, we had a conversation with our ladies. We had sister-friend relationship. You know, a lot of times, you know, people don't have sisters. And the treatment ends up being sometimes better than from your very sister. Yes. So yesterday, that's what we talked about. Talked about that sister friend. And we took some quotes, and one of the quotes, the best kind of friendships are fierce lady friendships where you aggressively believe in each other, defend each other, and think the other deserves the world. Well, we broke that all down yesterday. And the ladies did a really good job with that. Oh, yeah. They surely did. They did a really, really good job with that. And, you know, they really talked about, you know, what happens when you aggressively believe in each other. What are the things you do when you believe in your sister friend? You know, do you go out your way? You know, do you, you know, help them celebrate? You know, what do you do, you know, when you believe? Do you encourage them? That's the question. Do you encourage them? You know, and it may even be something that you may not see in her life, but do you encourage it anyway? Yes, as long as it's not going to be harmful to them. Is it a safe place to focus on and help her focus on, rather? Okay, we talked about defending each other now. Here's the best part about having Lady Tamika on and Shantice. Man, did you get a sense of north and south from this conversation at times. Yes, you know how Ashanti gets. She's quite aggressive in how she feels and quite vocal. And we talked about defending one another. Yeah, you know that ride or die sister friend that you have, no matter what you want to do, you know who to call because she going to help you hold it down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She going to bust the windows out the car with you. She going to key that car. She going to talk to that extra chick that's on the side. Oh, yeah. You got to calm her down from being more hype than you are a lot of the times. Yes. So we ended with, you think that one another deserves the world. And that's some kind of sister friend, you know, where you really just push forward for one another because, you know, this is my sister. And she deserves the world. And, you know, if no one else will help her get that world, I'm going to hit that world. I'm going to hit that world right along with her. You know, we're going to hit that ground running. We're going to go after what God wants in her life. And she may come across a little struggle. May have them kids. May have that job that's not paying enough. You know, may have that husband that's not supportive. But because I feel you deserve the world and God has put me by your side, we gonna do this thing called together. So the ladies did a fantastic job yesterday in relaying, you know, what a sister friend is and what she doesn't do and what she does do. And if you don't have a snapshot, oh, you need to go back and listen because they definitely gave you something to think about. Okay? So that's how we spend our Wow Wednesday. Because Pastor Charlotte was away getting some care. You know, we missed our Faith Over Fear segment. And our Pastor Kim is doing well from her procedure yesterday. So we have a lot to give God thanks for. And Elder Natisha, I'm sure she traveled safely. You know, so yesterday we were, you know, we were kind of different. But as God always does, he does it big. And we had a good old time over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. So, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, the day we discuss anything and everything about your mental health, emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. Now, we've been on a journey where, you know, we haven't been doing a lot of health, health therapy, physical. But, you know, we have given a new meaning to therapy. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Due Time crew has definitely been, you know, handing over some stuff. You know, some thoughts and, you know, it's your mental health because, you know, the things that we discuss, these are not things that a lot of people talk about. And, but a lot of us in one way or another experience. And today we're going to go over some stuff that, you know, some of us may not be experiencing directly, but you may need some help. You may need some help and some thought as to how you're going to get this thing done because it's wearing you out. And that's what we talk about. We talk about things that wear on you emotionally mentally. And subsequently, it weighs on you physically. Yes, we've seen and we've talked about many, many, many different things that happen to you that subsequently affect your physical health. And, you know, we're attacking it from the opposite side until God sends us someone to talk directly about our physical health. But we're going to talk about it from the opposite side. You know, they say stress is a silent killer, and it's killing you physically. You know, the Bible speaks of, you know, certain things that you do. You know, it affects the bones. Yeah. See, this Bible talks about everything. See, did you know that? Yes. It brings rottenness to your bones. That's deep. Yeah, and nobody think about that. When you're in that stressful relationship at home and it's weighing on you mentally and physically, that it affects you, mentally and emotionally, it's breaking your body down. You got high blood pressure, you got sugar diabetes, you got heart issues. Yeah, all of this stuff comes from just bad relationships. And I'm not talking about intimate relationships. I'm talking about sometimes kids at home where it affects the parents or whether it's affecting the children. I'm talking about unhealthy friendships, unhealthy job careers we're in, or jobs we've, you know, taken on. Yeah, this stuff affects you physically, not just emotionally and mentally. And ultimately, we know it'll affect your spiritual health, because either it's going to break you down, and you can't even get to God to pray, or you're going to be running to the Lord, because you need that Jesus time to help you get through this time. So either way, you're going to the Lord, either the hard way or the soft way. Because either you're going to be running there because you didn't try everything and nothing else has worked for you, or you're going to find that the best remedy to any issue, physical, emotional, or mental, is by going to the Lord. So, what kind of deal is that, where you can go to the Lord and let him take care of everything? You know, so we always say, you know, try Jesus. So this is the stuff we talk about here on this Due Time. We bring real, and this stuff is real, real scenarios to you. And we break it down and we talk about it and how it affects you. So, yeah, that's what today is made of. Our Therapeutic Thursday for May 13th. So, let me give you this number, 516-387-1358. Listen, give us a holler. Let us know how you're feeling. And this week, you're pretty vocal. So thank you. Thank you so much, you know, for using our 347-285-7777, for using that text. Well, we don't really have to talk, but we can say all we want to say. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me today. I couldn't do it without you. And, you know, we're going to take that quick break that we need to go get that healthy breakfast. We're going to take that, you know, that healthy break we need to go tell a friend. Yes, we're taking healthy breaks today and letting everybody know that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. We'll be right back.
Going to a restaurant is meant to be special, often a celebration, like these guys here. But if you or someone you love has a food allergy, you may feel anxious about dining out. Great job, Coach.
Just like on the field, teamwork is vital in the restaurant industry,
which means no one can drop the ball.
That's right, and if you're managing food allergies, you're not alone. Food allergies affect 15 million Americans, including 1 in 13 children. That's why our friends at Food Allergy Research and Education want to spread the word that you can have a safe and enjoyable dining experience. You just need a game plan.
It begins before you go to the restaurant, right, champ?
Right. Always call ahead.
Sample questions, helpful tips, and an online resource center are available on FAIR's website for food allergy dining, safefair.org. There you can download a signature chef card which lists your allergies. Give it to your server to deliver to the chef.
Visit safefair.org to learn more. And remember, we're all on the same team.
A public service message from Food Allergy Research and Education.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, the day we discuss your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, and your spiritual health. Okay. Alrighty. So I'm so glad that we're almost finished with the week. Yes. It's been some kind of week over here. On It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We have had a wonderful, wonderful time. And we're leaving it up to God to finish the job, right? Right. Okay, so I surely got some news for you today. So let me get myself together here so we can talk about it. You know, I always got to give the Due Time crew something to talk about before we get us started. And I tell you, you want some topic of conversation? I said to someone the other day, I said, you ain't never going to be bored talking about stuff. Or you're not going to ever have a dull moment talking about something when you have the news in front of you. I was never a news person. I always hated the news. I always thought it was just nothing but a bunch of nonsense. You know, they love to show us all the bad stuff that goes on in the world. And, you know, when I got It's Due Time, I had to start taking a new look at news. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, did news take on a new meaning. Well, I pulled up a couple of interesting stories today. All right, so the first story. A woman was arrested at the airport after she was found smuggling $40,000 of cocaine in her shoes. Now, okay, $40,000, okay? And she had this spread out in seven pairs of shoes, traveling from Jamaica back to United States, back to Atlanta to be more specific. So she's 21 years old. She's from Georgia. And she took a trip to Jamaica. And on her way back, they examined her bags and found that in her shoes, there was some white powdery substance in the bottom of the shoes. And they, you know, took it and they weighed it and, oh, man, $40,000, okay? Now, these people, they're going through, I mean, you putting them in the shoes, you're taking the shoes, you're putting them in the bag, and you get caught. Now, who wants to take the chance on getting caught with drugs? Because I'm going to tell you something. She really could have been caught on the opposite side. And, man, I've known a couple of people to go to jail in Jamaica. Oh yeah, they were drug users, and they found that the experience wasn't so nice. They knew other people who had been to Rikers and up in state prison here in New York, and they weighed that out, and man, oh man, they said it's a tough road. So she was really taking a gamble. Well, they say that on a typical day, 3,677 pounds of drugs are caught on people. Now, I mean, what you doing that you need to risk your freedom for this here drug stuff? I'm sorry. I'm not. No. That's okay. No. I'm not, oh my gosh, I'm not messing with this. I'm not giving up my freedom for this. No. So now you're going to wear some shoes, all right, but they are not going to be the kind of shoes you want to wear. 11 pairs of shoes were spread out on this thing here. And now she's giving up her time. 21 years old. You're going to jail for some years now. Yeah, even if it's 2 years. Which one of us got 2 years to give away? I know I don't. I didn't have it to give away when I was 21. I have it to give away at 51. And I surely don't have it to give away at 54. So, no, thank you. I'm going to keep my little freedom in my pocket. Thank you very much. Well, you know, I talked about that because she was also very young, you know, not just for the drug thing, but just a young kid. She's still a kid. At 21, you're still a kid. You know, you may think you're grown, but you're still a kid. Come on. You know, and before I move on, I want to say I've been looking at this American Gangster Trap Queens recently. I've been looking at that. And, you know, I said to Shantice and my mother, I said, you know, it's so sad because a lot of these women come from good homes. They come from good homes. You know, only, you know, and I've seen other, you know, shows like this before. And again, a lot of these people come from good homes, good, hard-working family, you know, parents and, you know, and you go out here and because you have the lure of the streets and, you know, all of them said that, you know, it was just something about the streets that they just had to be involved in. And I tell you, it must be heartbreaking. You know, my kids have not always been, you know, the best, but I have really good girls, and I give God thanks all the time because Pastor KL and I always talk about how, you know, we never had to go get them off the pole. We never had to, you know, pull them out the crack house. You know, and that's a blessing these days to be able to say, you know, your children, you work hard for your children, and your children, you know, they're out there doing their thing. You thinking that they out here making a decent living, and I tell you, they break your heart with the drugs and getting out here, and they made all this money in such a short amount of time, and they really, really, really just did their thing out there. And now, you know, what do you have to show for it? What do you have to show for it? So, you know, like I said, they're just kids and they think they know what they want. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody suffers from your lack of proper judgment. And it wasn't like your parents never invested the time. Now, you know, we do know that some, you know, come from homes where the mother, you know, was a crack addict or father was, you know, in jail or wasn't around and all of that. We get that. You know, you come here handicapped, or you come here and then later on you're handicapped. Well, you know, these are the things that we unfortunately have to go through in life. You know, but for those who really, parents have, you know, really broke their back to surround them with all of the proper care and the things that they needed, and, you know, what do you say to your parents? You know, when they're looking at you going to court or going to jail. Okay, so, Well, let's move on before we get started. And there's a debate on whether you should still wipe your kid's butt at 12 years old, or if you need to let them work this, what do they call it now? I'm looking at this thing here and I had to laugh. Whether they had to work out the bacon strips for themselves, you know. So a mom was in a conversation, and other mothers were talking, and they were complaining about the fact that, you know, hey, I'm like messed up here because I'm going and I'm doing laundry, and I got to look at this bacon strip in these underclothes. And one mother bust out and said, well, listen, y'all could do what you want to do, but I'm wiping his butt, or I'm wiping up butt. Okay? I'm just going to get this job done, you know, before I even get to the laundry. This way, I don't have to worry about dealing with the leftovers at the laundromat, you know, because some mothers were complaining, and I've heard other mothers complaining, you know, I gotta put on gloves when I do the laundry, or I'm scared to lift the underwear up, you know, or I have to be careful that it doesn't fall on the floor when I'm loading the laundry in the machine because, you know, the kid didn't wipe properly. And, man, I'm gonna tell you something. I has three girls. I, Stephanie, did not wipe anybody's butt past the time when they should have been wiping their own butt. Yes. That's my personal experience. Yes. If you ended up with some stuff in your underwear that that you didn't want, you may have had an itchy experience. And my opinion is that sure taught you to wipe yourself. So even if you didn't have the bacon strip in your underwear, just being itched up, you know, I do know someone who, you know, grew up and they called, you know, for help for quite some time. And the help arrived for quite some time. And, you know, we were like, wow. Everybody else ain't got this going. You know, but for some reason, there was no confidence there or laziness. Or I don't know. I didn't bother to ask. But, you know, everybody else seemed to have gotten this together, but you didn't. And, you know, we all, you know, lag behind in something. And, you know, but when I'm in the laundromat or I'm talking to some other parents and we bust out with this conversation, there was only one answer for Stephanie, all three of them. Listen, we're going to have a couple talks. And you either going to have a good experience or you're going to have an uncomfortable one. Because, see, when you go to school, you know, from the time you leave home and the time you get back from school, I can't help you. So, see, that's my issue. My issue is, you're talking about, okay, you know what, I'll just get the job done. So my question becomes, when you're not available, what happens? Do we get up and don't wipe at all? Do we get up and we don't even try? What happens? Because like I said, you leave at what, 7, 7:30 to go to school? You're not back before a good 4 o'clock. Now, maybe you didn't have that, you know, to go to the bathroom like that during the daytime. Or maybe you did. What did you do? How did you handle it? So, you know, the reason why I ask these questions is because I always say to people, you know, none of us are the best parents. We all make mistakes. We all could have done something better at one point. But my question is, as a mother, are we equipping our children for life, for real life? Not for this play life, for real life. Are we equipping our children? You know, when I got sick suddenly, I was very healthy, wonderful mom, doing all these kind of things. And I think I was 44 when I suddenly got sick. And Tamasia was the baby. And I think she was about 11, 10, about 10 or 11. And my thing is, you didn't know I was going down. I didn't know I was going down. And I'm looking at the reality of, who's going to take care of you when I'm down or gone? Because we've been talking for this whole, the whole year. We talked about children ended up being, you know, left here because of parents. You know, they're not here anymore. Now, you know, the children are left here. And what do you do? Because, see, ain't nobody going to take care of your child like you. Oh, now, wait a minute. Very, very, very few experience that. Very few. Where somebody going to treat you better than. Now, we know the system is made up of children who have been neglected. We ain't talking about them. Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. Stay with me. Are you equipping your children for this thing called life? Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I used to tell Tomato all the time, listen, you don't get along that well with Shawnee's. So you can pretty much count her out. Because I remember being in the hospital and going, Lord, is she going to feed my child? Because Shawnee's was at work. And I'm like, oh, is she going to take care of Tamaja? Or are they going to be in there arguing so much? And now I'm going to get this phone call. Ma, Shawnee said this, and Ma, Tamaja did that, or somebody didn't do something. I'm like, oh, I'm not lying. I used to worry about that in the hospital. Going into surgery, I'm like, Lord, are they going to feed my child? Shawnee's, yeah, but Shawnee's at work. How's she going to feed him? And I used to tell Tamaja all the time, listen, you better learn how to do these things. Because I'm telling you something, God forbid anything happens to me, you better know how to make a pot of rice, because that might be the only thing you can eat around here. Or you better know how to count your money, because you may have to go to the store, and if you don't want people jipping you all the time, you'll figure it out. Or you're going to have to do this, or you're going to have to do that. So we go back to, you know, to save him or her or me from having to go through this experience, I'm just going to wipe the butt myself. And my question is that the best thing to do? So what we going to do? We're going to have our little chat back time. Come on, 347-285-7777. Because I'm telling you something, I've noticed the independent children that I see versus the ones that just don't quite make it. And listen, I'm not saying we're perfect. Stop. Don't come with that. Well, you know, everybody got something. We ain't talking about that. We know everybody's got something. But think about the children or the adults. I'm not even talking about young adults. I'm talking about adult adults, you know, who could be better. And what could they be better at? And is that linked to because they didn't do something that was crucial when they were younger? Yeah, come on. This is emotional, mental, physical stuff here. We talking, this is real stuff. This is real life. Are we looking at these adults now and we're going, has so-and-so not did so-and-so? Or has so-and-so made so-and-so do something? Or, had they gotten this taken care of earlier in life, they wouldn't be at this, you know, at this point in life. Now they got to clear up. Because it's one thing to clear up, you know, as you're growing and, you know, God is shaking some dust off and, you know, shaking some things away from you. That's just life. And then there are other things that you are lagging behind because this was not done earlier in your life. And, yeah, I'm looking at some people and I'm linking it back and I'm like, wow. You know, when all of this was going on, maybe they would have had a little more experience. Had they had that little more experience, then maybe things would be better or different. So let's give Shawnee's a holler, 347-285-7777. Do we wipe the butt now and still have to wipe the butt later? This is the question. Okay, so answer the question like this. Do we wipe the butt now and prepare them for later, or not prepare them for later? Okay, so let me start all over again. Do we not wipe the butt now, let them work it out, because it will help them on the back end, or do we wipe the butt now, and now they're deficient later? Now, please do not send in any comments that say, well, you know, everybody got to learn and this might be. No! No! No, we ain't got. Let me just remind y'all. We don't have time. So we can't talk. I can't talk about whether, you know, I had our wife Shanti's butt or Tamasia's butt or Shawnee's butt. You know, like I always get the three mixed up. Y'all know how it goes. But we're talking about now. We're talking to the parents of now. You know, based on what we've seen, do we not wipe the butt now because later it's going to benefit them because they're going to learn some stuff that will help to prepare them for life because they're going to be wiping a whole lot of things in life growing up. And if they wipe those things properly, then they'll have a different, you know, experience of life. They'll have to work differently. Or do we wipe the butt now and somebody is going to be wiping the butt for pretty much the rest of their life? Or they're going to have to step up to the plate in areas and nah, because you didn't see the effect of when people don't get things taken care of early in life, all right? So that's what we're texting Shantice about today, 347-285-7777. Let me hear from you, okay? Let me hear from you. So let's get our conversation started with our due time crew. And we're going to talk to Brother Al first this morning. Oh, you know, it's always interesting when we talk to Brother Al first. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop, chop out of the morning. Chop, chop, cheating. Chop, chop out of the morning. Oh, yeah.
Ah, it's good to hear that voice. Good to hear that voice. Oh, Brother Al, we got some stuff on the table we starting with this morning. And we're starting with the 21-year-old who has decided for one reason. I don't want to hear nothing about, well, maybe she had a dilemma in life. We all got dilemmas in life. So, please, the people, we're not going to talk about that today. 21 years old, she's made the decision to smuggle these drugs, $40,000 in drugs, across the border of Jamaica and the United States, Atlanta, Georgia. In her shoes. What's your thought?
Absolutely insane. Don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time. Insane. Now everybody know when you get to the airport and you go through the scanner, they take your shoes off, they put your stuff through the scanner and see. So she's young and dumb. Why would you do that? I mean, just you wanted money that bad where you gonna try to sneak across the plane, knowing that even now since 9/11 it's been even more strict.
It's a pain in the neck to travel,
stuff.
Brother Al.
Right. Young and dumb. Just young and dumb.
Yeah. You bring up a very good point. You know, one of the headaches of traveling is going through TSA, man. That's a pain in the neck.
Yes.
And we've gotten our bags searched for less.
Yes,
last
indeed.
Time we went to see Pastor Kim, Pastor KL's bag was checked. Was nothing in it. I don't remember what they were looking for. They made me open bag. Yeah, my bag is like opening up. You know, if you open up one part of the zip, all the stuff comes falling out because I didn't stuff this bag. Yeah, so I was mad. I was like, oh, come on. What you looking for? Ain't nothing in the bag. It was some seasoning. I forgot. I was smuggling seasoning across the border. Yes, a bottle of seasoning. So, yeah, Brother Al, I agree. Young and dumb and just. I'm wondering if this was her first trip and somebody made her think that, it ain't going to be that bad. Just put it in your shoes. What you think?
I think it was her first trip because if she did it before, she'd have got caught then, too. So, so that's definitely, you know. And coming from Jamaica, where that's where they have all the marijuana and stuff, you know they checking even more.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that probably was the first time that somebody told me, listen, we're going to put it in the bottom of your shoe. Don't worry about it. You good. Don't worry about it.
Well, they failed her big time.
Big time, Brother Al.
They told her something they couldn't keep up. So, we talking about wiping the butt. Mamas are complaining that they got the bacon strips in the, you know, and now you are taking the laundry, you know, out, and now you're scared for your stuff to fall on the floor because you don't want nobody to see. And one mother says, hey, I got this covered. I'm just going to do the job myself. Well, as a man, what do you say?
Mothers and their boys, she's nuts. I'm not wiping your behind. This is what we're going to do. We're going to start showing you how to do this properly. And you know what? We're going to get you the little baby wipes. This, so, you know, until you get better at it. But, you know, here you go. This in here. Use the baby wipes because you got to clean yourself. And show them. This is what's happening to your underwear if you don't clean yourself properly. Now, if you continue to do it, you know what? I'm not going to the laundry for you. I'm going to have a separate bag, and you're going to go to that sink, and I'm going to give you some Tide or something, and you're going to wash them out yourself. You'll stop then, but I ain't wiping your behind. You crazy. I barely wanted to do it when he was a baby. When he was a baby, I was trying to teach him how to take his own pamper off and do it.
Well, here's the other question that I have, Brother Al. Do we wipe the, you know, not wipe the butt now to prepare them for later? Because you brought up some good remedies. You know, listen, I'm going to take you to the sink. I'm going to teach you how to wash them out by hand. You know, and it may not be a thorough washout, but at least you'll get that out so I can take it to laundry. My thought was you need to go to laundry yourself. And I didn't say that first because I wanted to give you all an opportunity to say that. So since you just said it, I can say it. You know, go the things that you said, you know, are good responses to, you know, this stuff going on. But do you feel that if we wipe the butt now, we're going to take care of some things later on down the line? Or if we do it for you now, I'm going to be constantly bailing you out of stuff or having to constantly understand or, you know, what do you think?
I think if you do it now, You're bailing them out. You're not teaching them for life. And, you know, and of course, you know, and everybody, all the listeners know, that's my passion, working with kids. I've been working with them over 20 years, and I have so many boys, unfortunately, fathers not in their life, and it's just the mothers. And, oh, my God, the stuff that I see. So if you start doing it for them now, you're bailing them out. You bailing them out, and they don't realize what's going to happen as you go down the line in life. Because I see it, because I've had kids from third grade, and now they're in 12th grade, and I see what's going on. So I see it firsthand. So you definitely bailing them out if you're doing that now. No, let him teach him. Let him learn now on himself, by himself, so that'll teach him in life, like, hey, I got to learn to do these things. You know, I got to do these things to prepare myself.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Al. All right, come on. I'm taking that survey, 347-285-7777. Do we wipe them now and we'll be wiping them up for the rest of their life or the rest of our life? Or do we teach them now how to take care of this matter, because it will help them later, you know, for life's experience? Thank you so much, Brother Al. We appreciate you. Oh, where's my girl, Tamika? Let's see what she got to say today. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Wishing you well.
Happy Thursday to you, too. Thank you so much for joining us. So, we got the 21-year-old who tried to smuggle the $40,000 worth of cocaine in the bottom of her shoe. What do you have to say about that? What's your thought?
Okay. So, first of all, she needs her butt whipped. You know, Brother Al had mentioned that she you know, he believes that it might have been her first time. Well, here's a thought. Why not try $400, $40? You going to try $40,000, and you thinking that that's going to be okay. I'm just not getting that, you know. I remember what a lot of people don't know is I used to work for the airport, and I was a ticket agent, but there's a lot of occurrences. People are not aware. This stuff happens, like, almost every day. I remember a lady at the airport. You remember those wide belts, the big wide belts that women wear?
Yeah.
Well, she had it lined in the inside of her belt, and she was fine the whole time she was walking. I noticed that she looked a little weird, but, you know, we're in New York, you know. I'm not picking, but there's a lot of weirdos just in the state of New York. And I noticed
right.
She kept looking back and forth, and, you know, she kept going to the bathroom. And when she got ready to get on her flight, that's when she panicked. She freaked out, and she threw the belt. And when she threw the belt, we realized that inside the belt was lined with, you know, of course, a powdery substance. We didn't know what it was at the time, but realized that, of course, it was cocaine, you know. And, you know, this is the stuff that happens, and it's just $40,000. Try starting small if you're going to do it at all. Not that I think that that's the right thing, but she's definitely, you know, take her in the back room somewhere and beat her like, Mom, if Mama forgot, let's go ahead and handle that for
her. Ooh, baby. Listen. Unpacking that $40,000 was a beating in and of itself, because all the while you watching them unpack that next pair of shoes, that was a lash. Pow! Every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, man, you could have probably beat her until the following week. It wouldn't have taken effect. The way every time she looked at them pulling another pair of shoes up out there, that's another how many months. How many years, possibly, if you get in front of the wrong judge, how many more years you going to have to face on this one? So,
but
oh,
here's the thing also. What happens when you call Ma and say, Ma, look at here. See, I was on my way from the airport. Funny thing happened on the way from the airport. How in the world do you call your mother and say, could you do me a little favor? Could you, you know, I need your help with this little thing. Yeah, no.
child, how would you answer? How would you answer?
I don't do jail. You're going to learn today. I'm sorry. I just don't do jail. You're going to learn.
Wait, go back before I lose my thought. Brother Al, how you answering? Your child calls you and says, hey, they caught me smuggling drugs, and I need your help. What you say?
I'm like, wow, they caught you smuggling drugs? Wow. All right, good luck. Give me a call. Let me know what went down.
All righty. Okay, that's how we answering. All righty. Lady Tamika, we're talking about wiping the butt, you know, to save me the embarrassment in the laundromat. I'm just going to wipe you myself. And you've heard the question that was on the table. What's your thought?
Okay. So, again, you know, I'm the world's favorite auntie. I remember having a situation like that in my own household. My god sister lived with me, and her son had digestive problems. Even when he was a baby, like when he was very little, we used to, like, after he eats, we used to rub his back for hours, you know, so that, because what would happen is the bowels would get caught up in his intestines and wouldn't come out. And when they finally did come out, he would, you know, stay in the bathroom for hours. Like, when I tell you he was little and he was in the bathroom for an hour. And then, like, after going to the bathroom, and, I mean, when even as his, you know, with him being so little, you know, he smelled like a grown man. Because you have bowel issues, you know, of course, there's a smell that comes with that. And
right.
She would go in there and, you know, he would wipe, and then her thing, his thing was because he didn't like it and he didn't like the feel and he didn't like, you know, he was to the point where he would wipe it on the sink and, you know, whatever, he couldn't get up. And, like, I, again, I'm not your mother. I'm not, you know, I know you got digestive. You're going to learn. You're going to get a mirror, put it up against the wall, turn around, bend over, spread. Because I'm just not, no. I'm sorry to gross anybody out if they're eating their breakfast, but this is real stuff. And, you know, I just was not into that, you know. She's like, well, you can do it. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You can do it. I'm not, you know. And she did it for a long time, you know, because he was uncomfortable. And not just with him having digestive problems, I do find that that happens more often with boys than girls. And so it's a hard job. If that's what you want to do, you want to get in there and put on, you know, suit up. No, I would have to put on a hazmat suit to get that. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what's the effect of tomorrow, you know, later on down the line? What do you think about, you know, if we take care of this today, then we'll be helping you to take care of this forever? Do you agree or disagree?
Right. So you're a cleanup woman. So every time that your child does something, you're always going to be fixing. So for me, it's definitely a no. You have to take the time to learn, because if you don't do it today, then how long, how many, you know, okay, you're 12 now. Do I do it when you're 16? Do I do it when you're 24? Do I do it when you're 45? When does it stop? You have to learn.
Yeah, because 24, she and let me tell you, Tamika, and I'm a woman to woman, we had a woman who, you know, we had a girls chat going on, and there was a woman who said that even after a shower, there were streaks in the on the sheets, and we were like, oh, yeah.
Oh.
So we do know that, you know, and this is somebody into their 30s. Oh, yeah, this was somebody into their 30s. We ain't talking about nobody 12.
Yeah.
We talking about, this is your woman telling us that there were streaks in the sheets. And we were like, but you went to take a shower. She was like, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I went with. So, yeah, it's real. It's definitely real. So thank you so much, Tamika, for joining the game and giving us your chatter. So let's go to one of our
listeners. Happy to be a part.
Thank you so much. We so appreciate you. We're going to one of our listeners. Let's say good morning to Serge. Good morning, Serge.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm fine. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well.
Everything,
so we're
everything.
Talking about... okay, good. Good, good. Brother Al has answered. So, you know, what's your thought?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We wipe them now, and we'll be wiping them for life, or we, you know, help them take care of this now early in life, and they'll be better off as adults. What do you think? How are you weighing in on this?
I believe that they should have been know how to wipe their butt already, to tell you the truth. At the age of 12, no one should have been wiping your butt. You should have been learning how to wipe your butt from 3 to 5. So I'll say they need to start doing it at 12, since 3 to 5 already passed by. So they need to go to the bathroom, take the paper towel. I mean, the
toilet paper. You better not use no paper towel in my toilet. Come on, don't be giving them no erroneous information, sir. Come on.
It's not learning how to wipe their butt.
What's the long-term effect? Do you think that, you know, wiping them now will mean helping to wipe them later in life, or watching them deficient in some things, or either, you know, if they do it now, then they'll be, you know, better off later? What do you think?
if they do it now, they'd be better off later. If you are assisting to them, because if you look at it, if you start helping, if you start doing it for them at the age of 12, they will always cling to that. Because a lot of people, when you start babying them, they stay as the baby mode. So it's best to start teaching them how to be on their own, own now, because they'll say, okay, I have nobody to wipe my butt. Let me do it myself, instead of you coming to save them each time they have to wipe their butt.
Okay. Thank you so much, Serge, for joining the conversation and weighing in on this issue. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. You too. Have a blessed one, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much to our listeners for participating. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Sharlin. Good morning, Pastor Sharlin.
Good morning, Pastor Steph and everyone. How are you today?
I can't say for them, but I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Glad to hear that you're well and you're joining us today. So we're talking about the 21-year-old who tried to smuggle the $40,000 of cocaine in her shoes. What's your thought?
Well, my thought was fast money, and she didn't think that she was going to get caught, because I know that Brother Al said it's probably her first time. Well, as a criminal, you would not, $40,000, you're not going to give a person for the first time. So I think that it wasn't her first time. She did it because they're going to test you. So they're not going to give you that amount of money. So she thought that she wasn't going to get caught, and she wanted to live on the wild side. And she felt that since she hadn't gotten caught before, that it wouldn't happen to her.
Okay. Now, we're talking about wiping the butt. You have girls and you have a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have from both sides of the fence. And, what's your theory on, not the second part yet, but what's your theory on, helping you with this process? Do you help to, listen, I'm just going to get this job done so I ain't got to worry about it later? Or do you, decide that I'm not going to help and you're going to get this thing done?
Well, I'm not going to help. You got to get this job done yourself, because I'm not going to run behind you and help you with your life. That I'm not doing.
Okay. So you do feel that if we help them now, we'll be helping them later.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
If you help them now, yes. If you help them now and teach them, they'll be able to stand on their own as they're growing up. Absolutely.
All righty. Thank you so much, Pastor Sharlin, for weighing in on our topic today and helping us get this conversation started. Oh, where's my Minister AJ? Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning, yiggity yang, yiggity yang yang.
How are you today?
I am doing quite fine. And how are you?
I'm well, thank you, I'm well. The 21-year-old who's trying to smuggle $40,000 of cocaine in her shoes. What's your thought?
Mm-hmm. I want to know if she had on clown shoes. How big were these shoes?
In her luggage.
Over several pairs of clown shoes. Okay. You got to know that, come on. Silly trick, silly kid tricks. Tricks are for kids. Gee, $40,000? You couldn't drive? What are you doing?
From Jamaica?
Oh, from Jamaica. Well,
New York. From Jamaica, West Indies.
not from Jamaica, Queens. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
$40,000, you know, you need to have your own private jet. You know, if you can smuggle that many or that level of drugs, you need to work on getting your own private jet. You know, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. How did you really think that was going to go over?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they
through
saw
the
that
shoes.
On the camera going through the machine. Yeah.
Through yeah.
The shoes.
Yeah. They did. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
How tragic.
We're also talking about the fact that, you know, we had the mother cluster who, you know, as a man, you know, you hear these complaints from this group of mothers and, you know, I can't take my child's clothes to the laundromat because I'm embarrassed. And one mother says, you know, hey, I just do it by myself. I just, you know, do it for him or do it for her. What's your thought as a man?
Nah, no way. We teaching you from an early age, you know, how to handle your problems. We not doing that. We not getting into the adult years and you walking around with this nastiness, you know. And I've heard a story like that where a grown man and, like you said, it's all over the sheets. We not doing that. No. That's a problem. Unless you got something going on with you mentally, you know what I'm saying? You know, and you're not high functioning. No. We not doing that. Oh, we gonna teach you about that hygiene. We teach you that, like Suri said. You know, the three to five stages. You know, two we teaching you. You know, hey, you know, if you know what I mean? Because you know how it is. Like if a kid bought you the box of wipes at 2 and 3, you already knew. Listen, no, you can go get on that little toilet. So you know how, you know, yeah. So you know, you know, we know how to gauge it as parents. No, when you could do certain things, you know, you need to start doing things for yourself. You know what I mean? Or getting it together. We're not doing that. We're not doing it in adult years because that's embarrassing. And most good parents is going to teach you when you're a kid, so that you don't embarrass your own self when you get older. But I'm not taking that to no laundromat. I'm not embarrassing myself. The devil is alive.
Well, listen, I think I'm a good parent, too, if I'm willing to wipe the butt. Yeah, I am a good parent if I'm wiping the butt.
No, you got some issues. You got some issues. You know, you teach them how to, you're supposed to teach them how to wipe their own butt. You know, now they 12 and 15, and you walking around with giant, you know, cleansing washcloths because it ain't even wiped no more. Nah. Now we all,
they got the adult wipes. They got the adult wipes.
We walking around, but at a certain age, they become cleansing washcloths, you know what I'm saying? So now we walking around with cleansing washcloths, and that kid 15 in the street handing you cleansing washcloths. You see how crazy that looks? Might as well put them in a get them a dope stroller.
Oh my goodness.
And so when you go to the bathroom on the stuff, hand you the cleansing washcloths to the street. That's embarrassing.
Okay, so do you say that, you know what, if you wipe up now, you'll be wiping up forever, or you'll be going to help you take care of this now because that'll help you in your adult years?
No, you got to teach them now, because if you wipe up now, you're going to be wiping for the rest of your life. You know, that kid going to be living with you, 30, 40, handing you the cleansing washcloth, so... You teach them how to wipe their own, because they'll see how nasty it is, and they'll learn to start wiping themselves. So, you know how parents
do. Oh, my
do.
Goodness.
When you get past that age, they leave that diaper on you for a little while. You figure it out. You know what I mean? You learn how to take that diaper off. You learn how to wipe yourself. You get it. We're not doing
Alrighty.
That.
Thank you so much, Minister AJ, for weighing in. Tamika?
Pastor Steph, you forgot to ask two of the panelists about the phone call from jail.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. See, you and Katie always got my back. All right. Minister AJ, you get that phone call from jail that says, you know, they locked me up because I was smuggling, you know, some drugs, you know, from Jamaica, and they caught me at the airport. So now I'm locked up. What do you say?
If bail is a dollar, I ain't coming to get you. That's what I was saying. Because if you crazy enough to put that much in your suitcase, listen, whatever the crime is, that's what it is. I'm not putting up no bonds on my house, none of that. We're not doing that. And I'll be praying that you survive it. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'll be praying for you, baby.
All righty. Thank you very much. Pastor Charlotte.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Minister AJ, for joining us today and helping us get this conversation started. Pastor Charlotte, you got that phone call. The phone call rings. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, Ma. I got locked up. For what? Because I was, you know, they caught me with some drugs coming from Jamaica. I thought you went to Jamaica for a vacation. I did. But on my way back, I decided to bring home an extra gift. What you saying? What you saying?
Yep. You woke me up. I'm going back to sleep. Call the person that you want to deliver it to. Good night.
Ooh. I thought you needed help in the house, Ma. You know, times are rough, and we in the pandemic, and, you know, it wasn't all going to go to me. I had something for you.
I'm not coming. I don't like the silver bracelets like that, and I'm sure not wearing an orange jumpsuit with you, so that's okay. I'll be all right. I got the Lord on my side. Good night. Don't call my phone until you come out. So see you later. Love you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Wow. All righty. Thank you for the reminder, Tamika. Thank you for the reminder. All right. We got Vivian on the phone, one of our own on the phone, and she wants to respond. 2, whether we wipe the butt now, we'll be wiping the butt later, or if we help, you know, to help get you this education early, we won't have to worry about educating you later. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. How is everybody?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
So what you got?
I wanted to talk about the booty bacon.
Ah!
I think if you don't let your child get all the way to 12 years old and they don't know how to wipe their butt, you might as well go ahead and wipe it and prepare for the future. Because ain't no way they reaching 12 and don't know how
to
wipe their butt.
Wow.
They should be wiping their own butt at 3 and 4. How they get to 12 and don't know how to wipe their own butt?
So what are you saying, Vivian?
Somebody done failed and it ain't the child. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you got a good point. You got a good point. And maybe that's why mom just goes ahead and does it, because she's like, listen, I've been doing it all this time. I might as well go ahead and finish it up. Wow. So your vote gets, you'll do it now, you'll be doing it for the rest of their life, or yours, whichever one is shorter, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you so much, Vivian, for your take on the booty bacon. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful one.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes?
So if they 12, then that means the parent got to go to school with them. Because I know ain't no teacher wiping them up like that.
And that's what I was saying earlier. I was saying, okay, so if you do have this practice and the child has to move their bowels during the day, what did they do? Because if I'm not there, I said the same thing. You leave the house at 7:30 in the morning to go to school. at, let's say you're in junior high school. You started junior high school. You leave, you go to school, and you don't come back till about 3:30, 4 o'clock. What did happen in all them hours? Who wiped that butt? I'm with you, Minister AJ. I'm puzzled too.
They sent them to the nurse.
Nurse ain't wiping no butt, Brother Al. That is,
yeah, no,
that
but what they do, yeah, you know what happened? What they do, you know, from working in the school system, what they do if a child goes through that issue, it's crazy. They send them to the nurse. And like you said, the nurse is not allowed to do that, but they have extra clothes and stuff there, and they'll send the person in the bathroom and have them take their clothes off and put on the clothes that they have for them at the school. It's insane. I'm telling you. Insane.
Okay, so is this are these a set of clothes that you have on in spare, or this somebody else's clothes that
no,
they're
giving
you?
This is spare clothes. Like what the school do, they order stuff. Like they order like sweatpants that might have the school logo or something on it. But these are clothes that they have at the school. The school actually have clothes because it's just in case a child have an accident. They don't have to walk around all day like that. And so if they send somebody there and say, listen, this is what such and such, and the nurse will go in the closet, like, okay, go in the bathroom, wipe yourself, take that off, and put this on. And they'll put those clothes that spoil, they'll put it in a bag, tie it up, and they have to take that home. But they have clothes at the school for the kids.
Al, first of all, I'm mad because this ain't no accident. And to how many times they're going to do that? No, I'm not saying that you're saying it's an accident. What I'm saying is I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm trying to listen to this logic that they've got going on. But how many times do we do this? I mean, this is every other day, every day, every 3 days. What? How often do you have to now get the nurse to change? Well, who wipes your butt? The nurse wipes the butt? Because are we putting on the brand-new clothes with the dirty butt?
Yeah, because the nurse is not going to do it. The nurse has a bathroom in where she's at, and she'll stand there by the door and say, okay, here, or she'll give them baby wipes. She'll give them baby wipes here. Wipe yourself and then change your clothes. I'm telling you, that was a boy, Pastor Steph. One day we got to do a segment on this, and the things I can tell you, you'll be like, get out of here. So the nurse will stand by the door, pass them through with baby wipes through the door. Here you go. Wipe yourself. Are you finished? Okay, here's some clothes. Put these clothes on. Put the other clothes here. Put them in this bag. Tie them up. That's what you take home so your parents can wash or whatever.
So now I'm real mad.
That's
it. So I didn't went from being a little mad.
Me too.
To being real mad. Because now you ain't got no education going on because they helping you wipe your butt and changing your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you going to bring me home the dirty clothes? Oh, no, I think you need to throw that in the garbage can because I'm going to be mad when I look at you and you didn't have on a school uniform opposed to the clothes I sent you to school in. this is just a mess.
Pastor Steph, I'm telling you. Pastor Steph, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Pastor Steph, one of these days we got to do a segment on that, and the stuff that I can tell you, they are ruining our children. And you wouldn't believe some of the stuff I saw, man. I'm telling you, it's insane. It's insane. Like you say, even that, it don't matter. They will take them in there. Here you go to whites. Here go to clothes.
Well, here, I'm going to switch your verbiage. They are not ruining your children. You are ruining your children. Because had you made them wipe up at home, see? So there goes the theory.
Go that.
Right, because now everybody's got to now filter this into your life of helping you. No! Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for that enlightenment, Brother Al. Minister
yes,
Adrian, were you
yes,
trying
sir.
To say something? Oh, my goodness, I can't.
Listen, that parent ain't dumb. That's the way to get a new wardrobe without paying for it.
With the school logo.
Wow.
If I send you to school every day and you come home with a logo pair of pants every day, listen, I got a whole new wardrobe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, here's what we're going to do. Since you like wearing the school clothes, that's what you're going to wear every day. I'm not even going to bother to buy you no clothes.
Exactly.
See,
new wardrobe.
There's more than one way to skin this cat. I always tell my girls, more than one way to skin a cat. You keep going to school, and every time I turn around, they got to stop to do this. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to wear these clothes every day. It don't make no sense for me to buy you clothes. You already got clothes at the schoolhouse. So we'll just buy, let them give you the clothes. And we need, I'll wash them, give them back, and I'll send you with an extra pair. Yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, like again, thanks for that clarification. Oh, we got one more due time crew member, and boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, you know, we always save her for last because we don't know what in the world we're going to get as a response. So let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. Good morning, how are everyone. You? Good morning. Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good morning.
That's good. Okay, so before we get started with you and your feedback, do you have any text messages from the listeners?
Yes, I have two. So one listener sent in, yes, I say teach them now and make sure they get it now so you won't fight later.
Okay. And what was
and
the other way?
Another one says, just know it comes to the schools too, and the teachers will talk about your child, sometimes to their face and definitely behind their back.
Talk
about you behind your back too. So they'll be talking to the child, about the child, behind the child's back, and talk behind the parent's back.
Good point. Thank you, listeners, for weighing in and giving us your feedback. So, Shanti, we're talking about the 21-year-old who made the attempt to smuggle the drugs from Jamaica to Atlanta, Georgia, and got caught with all of this cocaine in her shoes. What's your thought?
I think this is what happens when the parent doesn't make the child watch Hearst 48. Because, this stuff just doesn't work. It does not work. And, again, like it was said, the amount of cocaine as well, like, how are you even, like, she must have looked sus the whole time. Because I can't even imagine. Just the thought of you telling me you want me to smuggle this, I'm already peeing on myself. So I can't imagine actually putting this in my shoes. And then it's going through, because it's not even like nobody's going to have to check these bags and they just did a random search. Like you know they're going to have to check your bag and you really, you wanted to get caught. She wanted to go to jail. Because that doesn't make any sense to me.
All righty. So we're talking about wiping up behind your child. And, you know. The mother that says, hey, listen, I just do it and get it over with. What do you think about that? Not the second part, just the first part. Just making the decision to wipe the child, you know, opposed to letting him or her do it themselves and getting it right.
I think they were failed as a child to make that decision.
Why?
Not that I'm making that decision. Because if you were made to learn the proper way, why would you now take that on with your child? That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
If I had to learn how to wipe myself, why am I not making you learn how to wipe yourself?
Okay. Makes sense to me. All right. So, now what do you think about, you know, the effect, the long-term effect of either wiping the child now, you're going to have to be wiping them up later, or they're not going to have, you know, some of life's, you know, I just had it on the tip of my tongue, but they're not going to, you know, be able to handle certain areas of life versus making them learn now, learning to do it right now, and then being a much better person as an adult. Do you think there's a connection?
Well, you absolutely. And you gave the perfect example. When you're in your 30s, and now I have to hang up your examples all over the house because you didn't learn this as a child, and now every time you walk somewhere in this house, your examples are going to be hanging up. Okay, so you left
this
mark here. Yes. We're not doing this. I have a 6-year-old niece. Don't be going in no bathroom calling me. Don't go into my auntie what? Auntie taught you, so you better get that toilet paper, dab it in some water, and get the wipe in. Auntie ain't coming in there. You eating solid food now. My wiping career is over. Okay? It's bad enough I have to wipe myself. I can't call for help. For himself, okay? So now you don't know how to wipe yourself. You now have to look at these live examples every time you turn a corner in this house. And then there's nothing you can say to me as an adult if you have these live examples. B, you can't say anything to me until we can start unpinning these examples from these walls. So
wait.
Travel just like every other, huh?
Wait, I have a question. I want to make sure I understand you properly.
Oh, you understand.
And you know what's funny? I was just going to say, Tamika, help me out here. Am I getting this right? Pastor Charlotte, help me out here. Am I understanding this properly? So you would be putting these clothes up in the air, in the house?
No, they're going to be covered. They're going to be covered. But then whenever you try to get smart or something, I'm going to have to unveil them just to remind you.
Oh,
and then now this is going to be your live demo in your part of the house. And until I see that you now know how to wipe yourself, then we can start taking these live demos down. But you're not going to be bossing up like you're an adult. You're not an adult when you don't know how to wipe yourself, okay? So it has to start as a baby.
That's called abuse.
It's not abuse. It's abuse to me. Now I can sit here and endure a grown man not knowing, just like every other mistake you make as a child that does not get addressed, it follows you through life. You are not now going to go get with a woman and she now is expected to endure this because the mama didn't ensure that you knew how to wipe yourself. So I'm not going to now fail you in your adult. You were failed in your childhood, in your adulthood. I'm not going to fail you.
You're
going to be in the
I
face.
Can't. And these are going
to
be hanging up around the house, covered. There's no better. Who's saying this?
Yeah. Tamika. Charlie.
I got a question.
Okay,
are they going to be like in frame as like a picture?
Oh, I didn't think like yes. See, I didn't think of that, Pastor Charlie. Yes.
No.
I got you
in the frame.
I got your back.
In the frame. That way, see, now I don't have to cover it with the sheet because it's in the frame, so the smell is contained in the frame. And every time you turn a corner, every time you try to get smart with me, or every time you try to buck up, I'm gonna grab the frame. Like, excuse me. Reminder. Right. Until you get
this
right, I don't want to hear nothing.
May the Lord.
And don't forget the date and the time.
Yes.
Oh.
It has been 11 months and 7 days. So you
prove
to me that you were failed in your childhood. Yes.
Wow.
Pass the stuff. Wait. They make videos. They make videos. There's teachers who teach the kids how to wipe themselves in the school. This teacher had two balloons and put them together to make it look like a behind. And she sat and demonstrated like it was her behind on how to wipe yourself. So now you have to go and watch those videos. Because I'm not demonstrating for you. I am not doing that.
Pastor Steph?
Yes?
I hope you know from listening to what Shantice just said, that would be one of your clips on the headlines. Woman makes Woman makes grown son. Woman takes grown son underwear and frame them and put date and time and have them all over the house.
No, it ain't gonna be my son because my son gonna learn. I just said I have a niece who she cannot call me into the bathroom. You eat solid food. I'm not going in there with you. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
You, if you ain't catch on by now, you now gonna have to be self taught. I mean, once you start eating solid food, that is it. No, we're not doing that. Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I gotta ask you the question. You know, so you make that phone call, and for Pastor Charlene, I gave 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll use the same one. 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, your child rings the phone. You answer it, or your niece rings the phone and says, you know, hey, I'm at the precinct. They arrested me. And you say why? And say, well, you know, I went to Jamaica and I tried to smuggle back some drugs, and they caught me, so they arrested me. What do you say?
You wanted to get arrested, so you are now at home. And you really thought that you was going to make it? No, I'm sorry. I don't know what you expected from your phone call, but I can't help you, dude.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, you have a general consensus of how you would handle that phone call. Shantice, you're the only one with a parent on the line. How do you think your parent would have answered?
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't have called you. I'd try to call everybody else before I called you. I'd have called Pat Charlene, everybody who ain't even in the same state. Because it would just be a bunch of yelling, and then you would end it on a calm note like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. So it would just be like, pointless to call you. Like, it would be all hooping and hollering for like a good 10 minutes straight, and then a calm, well, I don't know what to tell you. Because I ain't coming down yet.
What a mother. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, always leave it to the due time crew, you know, to help me out. So I want to go around, and I'm going to ask each of you. So we talked about, you know, one way a parent can fail a child in preparing them for adulthood. Pastor Charlene, what's one other way you can fail your child by not preparing them for life at an early age? Something that should be natural for you to do, but you didn't, and now you and the child might be suffering later on in life.
The value of money. Teaching them how to, teach them how to earn money and not just give it to them, teaching them how to pay something, teaching them how to balance their checkbook, you know, so in that part of money, you know, because nowadays children don't know the value of money. They just think that it'll fall out of the sky and, you know, and okay. that you have it. And that's one of the reasons is because we always give them and they don't know the value, how hard that you had to work to get that money. So mine is money.
Wow, I like that. I like that. Now, you can't give the same answer because Lord knows there's a whole myriad of things, so I need y'all to start thinking. Come on, Brother Al. What area, you know, we need to definitely target teaching our children early in life because this may follow them later in life?
Man, it's so funny. You know, this is my thing right here. About 100 of them popped in my mind, and I was battling while you was asking Pastor Charlene with two. I'm gonna just go with one, but I do have two of them. I'm gonna say one is consequences for their actions. You know,
right.
A lot of times, man, these parents, man, they just, you know, well, it's okay. No, you did that. It's fine. And as they get older, and start going through life, they just figure, hey, I can do whatever I want to do, and that's it, you know. And we have to show them that, hey, there's consequences. If you go out here, you know, like some parents take it lightly. For instance, when a kid go into the mother or father wallet and take money, no, that is stealing, and it's not okay. So now if you do that to somebody on the street, not only could you get hurt or killed, but you could go to jail when you go out there. So I would say definitely consequences for things that they do.
Wow, these are good ones. Oh, I hope you listeners are listening. I hope you're listening, making notes, taking notes. Thank you. If no one has said it when, you know, on our full round, Brother Al, I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Thank you. All righty. Tamika, what you got over there, girl? What is something that we really need to prepare our kids for, because they're going to have to know this stuff when they become an adult?
Ooh, we expressing emotion. And that is very, very extremely important.
Good one.
On
good
both
one.
Extremes, because you might have a child who has a temper tantrum. See, a lot of people think, oh, well, just let him have a temper tantrum. Okay, so every time he spazzes out, you stop, your world stops. That's not necessary, because what ends up happening in some cases is as they grow up, they start throwing things. You know, it starts at throwing things, then it starts at hitting somebody. So you got to catch that temper tantrum. I remember, you know, you go into the store and you want this toy and mommy said no. When you start spinning around and doing the curly shuffle in the middle of the floor, let me tell you something right now. We're stopping that. You know, you act like you having an exorcism in the middle of the floor in the store and everybody's looking at me. No, that's not happening. You know, and then the other thing is when you go on the other end, and you don't express at all, then me as an adult, I get into a relationship with someone who doesn't express himself.
Right,
I don't
right.
know how you feel. I don't know what you're going through.
Right.
So now I'm at a point where I'm trying to figure out what you're doing. I'm walking on eggshells because, his look looks like this, but I'm not really sure. So I'm trying to figure out what you're feeling because I don't know what's on your mind. And so it's very important as a child, curb that thing, because you realize that somebody else, as an adult, has to deal with something that you chose not to curb when they were little.
Wow, you all are giving it up here this morning. Come on, Minister AJ, what you got? What's that one thing I got to teach you now as a kid? Because later on, you're going to need to know this thing here.
I think Tamika danced all over mine. I would say how to wipe yourself. No, I'm joking. I think, all right, for me, it's how important education is. Because we love saying, go Sequita, and we teach them how to dance, but we don't teach them the importance of education, of educating. Not only in just education, like as far as school is concerned, educate yourself about your history and also about the lore of the land. So you know how to even handle cops and different things, but you got to know where you come from. And I think a lot of us don't search our own history. So I'm going with that. Go Sequita.
Good one to add to the list. Come on, John, what you got?
Everybody said mine, so I'm going to go with, understanding the importance of spending time with your child. Because that just brings on a myriad of issues when they become older. And it's like, it's bad for women and it's bad for men, but I'm seeing how it is just like really, really detrimental for a grown man when he was a baby, a child. The parents did not spend time with them or, show them the importance of spending time with them, and so many different things escalate just from that alone. So, now they don't know, now they're a womanizer or they're, just a narcissist, and so many different things come from that. So I think when the parents are negligent in that, they don't realize the monster that they're now breeding for the world to now have to deal with.
Wow. And I apologize. I thought I put the phone on mute.
a very traumatizing type of stuff.
I pressed the button, but I didn't press the mute button. I apologize. But that, oh, my goodness, you all have given, oh, my goodness, so many things. And we could call up 100 examples for each of the things that you all brought up. Brother Al, did they cover the second one you had?
No, I had quite a few that they didn't cover.
Okay, so we could take one more. I got time for one more.
Okay. I'm going to go with which one I was saying. I'm going to go with this one, respect. We have to teach our kids to respect. You know, that's one thing. I just put, you know, big thing with respect. You know, these kids these days, if you know, they have no respect. I don't care if they're on the train. They see a grown-up, they curse right in front of you. You say something to them, they're ready to cuss you out. So that's something that we need to teach them. Is respect. You know, there's a few things. Respect, courtesy, praying, a whole bunch. I still remember the prayer that my parents taught me when I was a little kid. Now I lay me down and sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul will take. And then my parents taught me that when I was a little kid. You know what I'm saying? So things like that, you know, those are things that we need to teach these kids.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh,
oh yeah.
Due Time Crew, always giving us something to think about. And, you know, this conversation took on a life of its own, and we did not get to. But that's all right, because I'll just push it for another week. So thank you so much. We so appreciate you. Have a wonderful one, everybody.
Pastor, one thing real quick.
Yes.
Pass that one thing real quick. I just wanted to let everybody know. I graduate this weekend. Saturday, I graduate from college. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I have my church bell, but... Oh, wait. You're going to be on in the morning, right? No?
Yes. My flight leave, I'm actually me and Tamika flying down tomorrow because they decided to do it in person. So we're going to Salisbury, North Carolina. Our flight leave at 6 in the morning, and I get there about 7:15. So somewhere around there, you hear me on there.
Okay, doggy. So we'll give you your church bell tomorrow, God spares, as we help
indeed.
You with the pre-celebration of the graduation. So congratulations. Woo!
Yeah. And I'm graduating with honors. I'm leaving the whole year with a 4.0. Oh yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You got some extra church bells coming up tomorrow. All right. Congratulations to Brother Al. See, if you work early, it'll go follow you through for the rest of your life. All right, Brother Al. Everybody, thank you so much, and enjoy your day. Thank you so much.
You as well.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How exciting. You know, I'm sure it's exciting as an adult to be graduating college. You know, a lot of times we think that once we come out of school, you know, the first time, and that's it for us. But thank God for a second leg. You know, and second opportunity to get this thing done here. So, we've come to the point where we hold hands and we hold hearts and go before the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. Oh, because you did it again today. No matter how minute, insignificant, minor, passe, no matter what we think of these news stories, there's so much for us to take from it. And today, God, we give you thanks because you have definitely opened up a door to a greater and deeper thinking for us. Thank you for just waking us up and introducing us to new thought. You know, even if we had some thoughts in our head, and even if we, you know, it's been a long time ago, or whether we're experiencing it or we know somebody who's going through it, You know, we are blessed because everybody can walk away today saying they heard something different, that there was something put on the table that they had not considered themselves. So we want to thank you, God, because you're always investing in us. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if we were ministering today, that we paid special attention to what was being said out of our own mouth as well as the mouth of every other Due Time member. And let us absorb the things that, you know, you had us to even say. You know, we, again, encouraging ourselves. Things that we don't even think of until it's time to talk about it. So we want to say thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you always, you know, even when we ministering, when we're ministering, God, you always give us an opportunity to learn and to grow. And you just do it all over and over and over again. And you just make that ministerial opportunity so much more special. We're going to thank you for the listeners that they're tuning in to get a word. And a word they got today, if not more. We know, God, that there was something on this table that made people think that maybe they would even be, you know, able to take into future conversations, dear Heavenly Father, even if they didn't think so, but that you would allow them to absorb everything that they heard today, and then when the time comes, they can share in this knowledge and this wisdom, something that they may not even had even thought about themselves. So we just thank you, God, because you're always moving. Oh, when you're sitting still, you're moving, God. You're always moving. We thank you so much because when we think of all the things, we think of all the components, when we think of every characteristic, you are just an awesome wonder. And to be a partner with you as you use us to send your word out, we give you thanks. As we're used as messengers, we give you thanks. As we are your children, we give you thanks. So we just have so many different relationships with you, and we're thanking you for introducing yourself to us in a special way that we acknowledge that our life would not be, I mean, it would not be the same. It would not be the same if we lived it without you. It would not be the same if we lived it without you. So we're encouraging everybody, God, through you, to just take you on. Thank you so much for someone, you know, investing in us. Now we can pay it forward. Now we can do the things that you want us to do because you're teaching us to do it and how to do it. Thank you so much, God. We ask you, God, to continue to be with Pastor Kim as she's recovering from her procedure yesterday. We ask you, God, that, you know, she gets rest and peace. And although it may be uncomfortable, dear Heavenly Father, we're asking you, God, to just be right there and eliminate as much discomfort as possible. We ask you, God, to remain on Pastor Charlene's shoulder as she is navigating through tests to, you know, get to a conclusion as to what her body is going through right now. And we know, God, that, you know, you could have fixed this a long time ago. However, we're following your path. However you are going about this thing, we're right here with you, God, trusting you, having faith in you, and loving you for just paying attention to this issue. Thank you so very much, God, for just allowing her to be able to go through the test. Thank you so much. And we pray, God, that they're favorable, things that can be addressed and wiped off the table, God, and that she holds on to her faith throughout this process. We ask you to be with Pastor KL, the Heavenly Father, as he's going through his own medical difficulties, as he's busying himself doing some other things, God, that he's required to do. And we ask you, God, to just be with him as his presence is missed here today. So we're just asking you, God, to just continuously be with us. Continue to touch our brains, touch our hearts, touch our eyes, ears, and our spirit, that they will all be converted to yours, that we see things the way you see it, that we hear things the way you hear it, that we feel things the way you feel it, and that our spirit would be in partnership with your spirit so that we can make sure we're doing the things that we're supposed to do. So thank you so much, God. Thank you so much for just being there even when we don't think we need you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Oh, what a conversation today. What a conversation today. I always walk away from these conversations, you know, being so rejuvenated, you know, being forced to think about some things and, you know, whether we did it right, did it wrong, whether we're on point, on target, you know, what a blessing to wake up and be able to reevaluate what we've done. Am I doing this correctly? Am I not doing this correctly? You know, this raising the kids thing, you know, you've heard it a million times. There's no book. There's no book that tells you what to do. And even, we talk about this all the time, even in your own family, every child is not the same. So you can't necessarily do the same thing, especially when you have, like, big gaps between your children, because times have changed so much. You know, when you were raising the millennials, you know, there are certain things that you can, you know, talk about and you can do. And now if you got a Z in your house, a Generation Z, you may be changing that tune a little bit. You just don't know. You got to go with the flow. And here's the thing that I always think about and I say I love about God. You know, when I was raising the older two, I was just regular old Stephanie. By the time I really adopted Jesus into the things that I did and I asked him to order my steps, they were older people at that point. So those molding years were different for them. You know, by the time I got to be the parent of Tamasia, I was baptized, and, you know, after she was born, a few years after she was, I think she was about three. And now I have to do things differently. I have to see things differently. Times are different. You got to respond differently. You know, so no, you know, one of the biggest complaints I hear from older children, you know, you didn't do that with me, or you didn't let me get away with that, or this is what you did with me. And, you know, I say all the time, I'm not who I was back then. You know, certain things I'm not going to tolerate, and certain things, you know, I have to shift. I'm looking at the times. You know, we always talk about and laugh. You know, the other day I was dressed to go to the laundry, and Shantice decided she was going to videotape me so she could send to her sisters. And Shantice doesn't talk about my clothing too much. Now, she has a lot of thought, but she doesn't talk about it too much. Shantice and Tamasia, oh, forget it, you know. Is Shantice always talks about the way I look when I go out, but to Tamasia, I have to make sure I go out and look a certain way because her people know me. That part always cracks me up. I mean, you gotta, you know, my people know who you are. Everybody knows you're my mother. I can't have you out there looking like this. And I could be looking decent, but according to her, I think she said that I was looking. Oh, man, I had to work this morning. What? Okay, I got from the peanut gallery. I was burnt out. And I was like, yo, really? Because, see, in my head, when you say to me, I'm burnt out, I'm thinking like a crackhead burnt out. But to her, it's not, you know, it's not that drastic, you know, because she knows I'm not going to go out like that, but I was burnt out. And that's, again, the verbiage of the Generation Zs. You know, this is what they say, you know. So, you know, you can't, it's not the same, you know, when you're dealing with children and, you know, like I said, I was blessed enough. I didn't have to worry about, you know, wiping up behind nobody once they got into the groove of it. And, you know, I do realize, I'm really an advocate for, again, like I said earlier, listen, let's teach these kids this stuff now. Because they're going to need this. Because they're going to have to be able to fight this world. This world, they'll chew you up and spit you out. They don't care nothing about how you were raised and what side of the bridge your parent was on. And, oh, no, no. Mm-mm. They're not talking to you about none of that at all. So you got to make sure that, you know, we're preparing them for life. So, you know, are we preparing our kids for life? And that's what we have to think about. You know, it may have to happen in a different manner for one than it does for, you know, another child. But at the end of the day, when we ask ourselves that, you know, or when you ask yourself that, you know, what answer are you coming up with? Are you coming up with, yes, I'm preparing not your fake level of living, but the real life, okay? So let's make sure we do everything we need to do to prepare our children to be able to face this world. Please like us on Facebook. Closer Walk Media Network is how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure when you open up that link, you press that pink follow button, and you'll be notified each and every time we upload a new episode. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door, Coach for Christian Life or A Closer Walk Media Network, and go down and post and, you know, let people know how the show was. You know, so they can be encouraged to listen to. Go back and listen to past episodes. Oh, my. I am advocating for you to go back and listen more and more and more, because I'm telling you, these shows are really touching on some real serious topics. Please go to iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show. Let the world know why you tune in to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. As often as you do, okay? God spares. Tune in tomorrow for Freestyle Friday as we hear from the men. So get ready. Make sure you get up and prepare yourself to be a listener. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through. Not just for coming through for me, but coming through for you. There were many things that were said that should have left you thinking. All righty? And I want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening today. Make sure you tell a friend and let them know what's going down over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Okay? All righty. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later may be too late. Not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, I love you.